Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. For the upcoming holiday of Shavuot, we're going to learn today a Midrash connected to the Book of Ruth, and specifically a Midrash connected to the character of Boaz, one of the main characters, of course, of Megillat Ruth, the one who marries Ruth in the course of the story. And the specific Midrash that I'd like to look at today is found in Masechet Baba Batra, Daf Samuch Samech Aleph, Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, where it is stated that Boaz is the same as another biblical personality, Ivtsan. Now, if you're not entirely clear as to who Ivtsan is, you're probably not alone. Ivtsan is a person who is mentioned ever so briefly in the Book of Shoftim, right, thrown in among the more famous Shoftim, those who ruled after the time of Yehoshua, such as Shimshon and Yiftach and Gidon, etc. There's also mention of other Shoftim, much less famous, who are only described in a pasuk or two, one or two sentences. So one of these is Ivtsan, and in Perek Yud Bet, pasuk Chet, right after the story of Yiftach, we read Vayishpot Acharav et Yisrael et Ivtsan mi Beit Lachem. Right, so after him, meaning after Yiftach, there was another judge named Ivtsan, and he was from Beit Lachem. For the purposes of this midrash, it's clear that Beit Lachem here is assumed to be, the famous Beit Lachem, right? The one that's south of Yerushalayim, a couple of minutes from where I sit right now, making this podcast. I'm in Efrat. The birthplace of David HaMelech, and of course where Boaz, the person mentioned in the story of Ruth, and where the whole story of Ruth takes place. There are other Mifrashim commenting on the Peshat of these Psukim who suggest that Beit Lachem is a different Beit Lachem altogether up in the northern part of the country. But in terms of the Midrash, clearly they're talking about the Beit Lachem which is in Shevet Yehuda. Vayhilo Shiloshim Vanim. Right, he had 30 sons, this Ivtsan. U'shaloshim banot shilach hachutza. U'shaloshim banot hevi levanav min hachutz. So, briefly explained, Ivtsan had 30 sons, and he had 30 daughters. Now, the 30 daughters he sent out to get married elsewhere, and to, presumably, men from other shvatim, other places. And he brought in 30 women to marry his 30 sons. Vayishpot et Yisrael sheva shanim. He was a judge. He was a shofet for 7 years. Vayamot Ivtsan vayikaver bevet lachem. And he dies, and he is buried in Beit Lechem. That is all that we know about Ivtsan. And for some reason, in the Gemara and Baba Vatra, the claim is made that Boaz and Ivtsan are one and the same individual. Now, on a very superficial level, right, we can understand this midrash. Boaz is from Beit Lechem. Right, that's where the whole story about Boaz takes place. Boaz, in the story of Ruth, certainly shows leadership qualities. We see that he has many people working for him in his very productive fields. We see that when he has to do the right thing in the Megillah, he does the right thing. He marries Ruth. He redeems the field. He keeps the family going. He has moral integrity. These are all qualities about Boaz that show up in the story. Right, so it would be fitting for such a man to have been a shofet. Right, and apparently that is what, at first glance, what this comparison. Oh, and of course, right, I forgot to mention that the story of Ruth, Megillat Ruth, takes place during the time of the shoftim. The Megillah opens. The opening pasuk is Vayhi bimei shvot ha-shoftim. Right, so the time frame works out as well. Right, and at first glance, that is the basis of this midrash. Right, the well known law conservation of biblical personalities. Right, there's this Ivtsan. We don't know much about him. Well, let's match him up with Boaz because why not? I'd like to suggest that perhaps there's a little bit more to this midrash, and in order to understand the Midrash a little better, I'd like to look at the Midrash within the context of Masechet Baba Vatra in which it is found. So again, this is Masechet Baba Vatra, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, and the sources are available on the website for those who are interested in seeing it inside. Right, so the context of this comment is a discussion in the Gemara about whether or not one is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Tanu Rabbanan, ein yotzin meha'aretz l'chutz la'aretz, ela imken amdu se'atayim b'sela. Right? I'm not going to read through this entire part of the Gemara, but briefly summarized, this part of the Gemara discusses that the cost of living has to be so high, and the Mefarshim explained, to the extent that one cannot afford it. If it's very high and you can afford it, you're not allowed to leave, but if it's very high and you cannot afford it, you're allowed to leave. And then, getting closer to our theme for today, V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai omer, Elimelech machlon v'chiyon gedolei hador hayu, u'farnasei hador hayu. Right, that Elimelech, Machlon, V'chilion, right, the three people mentioned first in Megillat Rut, Elimelech being Naomi's husband, Machlon, V'chilion, the husbands of Rut and Orpah, right, they were Gdolei Hador, Ufarnasei Hador. They were wealthy, they were important people, they helped support other people, and they left, right, they went to Moab. And why were they punished? Mipnei sheyatzu me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. Right. So this is proof that they did something wrong. That's why they were all punished. That's why they all died there in Moab. Shine emar v'tehem kol tehom kol ha'ir alehen v'tomana hazot Naomi. When Naomi comes back to Beit Lechem together with Ruth, and the entire city sees her coming and says, "Is this Naomi? My hazot Naomi?" Right? Why are they saying that? The Gemara asks. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amru chazitem Naomi sheyatzata me'aretz lechutz la'aretz, ma'altala. Right? What is really going on in that statement, according to Rabbi Yitzchak? That everyone was looking at her and said, "See, she's come back alone. Everyone there died. She was punished in chutz la'aretz. She has lost all of her status." Right? That's what happens to someone who goes out to chutz la'aretz. And that's really what's behind that statement, said Rabbi Yitzchak. And Rabbi Yitzchak continues, "Va'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, oto hayom shebata Ruta Moavia le'Eretz Yisrael, meta ishto shel Boaz, v'hainu de'amre." Right. On the day, Rabbi Yitzchak says, that Ruth HaMoaviah shows up in Beit Lechem with Naomi, on that day, the wife of Boaz dies. Now don't forget that Ruth ends up marrying Boaz at the end of the story. So, and this is what people say, Ad dela shachev shichva kaima menuvete. Right? Before somebody has died, there's already the next person, the replacement, ready to take his, or in this case, her, place. What is the point of this statement? Right? What is this part of the Gemara trying to say? Right? That those who left Chutz La'aretz were wrong, right? Because they had no faith, right? They left even though they should have stayed. They had no faith, and that's why they left Eretz Yisrael when things were hard. But if one understands this story, right, what do we see about Boaz who stayed in Eretz Yisrael, right? His wife dies, and even before she dies, there's already the solution to the problem, right? Hashem has provided the trufa before the makah even has come. Right, and this is the proper approach, right? That Hashem, the problem will be solved. You just have to have a little bit of faith. Okay, now we're getting to our midrash. Right, all this has been context. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Ivtzan ze Boaz. Okay, Ivtzan, who we talked about already from Sefer Shoftim, is the same as Boaz. He's the same person. Mai kamashmalan, right? Okay, they're asking the Gemara, what is this supposed to tell us? Ki idach de Rabba bar Rav Huna, right? Again, quoting Rabba bar Rav Huna, "De Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Rav, me'av yasri mishtaot asa Boaz levanav." Okay, based on this idea that Boaz and Ivtzan are the same person, so we now know that Boaz, A.K.A. Ivtzan, had 60 children, and so he says, Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Rav say, that he made 120 feasts for his children. Shne'emar, ויהי לו 30 בנים ו 30 בנות, שילח החוצה ו 30 בנות הביא לבנה מן החוץ, וישפוט את ישראל 7 שנים. Right, so he had 60 children. ובכל אחת ואחת עשה שתי משתאות. For each one, right, when he or she got married off, he made two feasts. אחד בבית אביו ואחד בבית חמיו. Right, one feast was made in his own home. And one was made in the home of the father of the other side, right, of the machatanim. Uvechulan lo zimen et manoach. Right, now this is a statement coming out of, we have at this point no idea where. And for none of these parties, these 120 parties, did he invite Manoach. Okay, Manoach, to remind you, is the father of Shimshon. Incidentally, or not incidentally, the next shofet, the next main shofet who appears in the book of Shoftim, and just, you know, nicely for our purposes, it's also the story that we read the Shabbat after Shavuot, in the Haftarah, right? So it's also timely in that sense for us. So Manoach was never invited to any of these parties by Boaz / Ivtzan that he made for his children's weddings. Amar, kudna akara b'may parali, right? That the wife of Manoach is a kudna akara, right? A barren mule, right? It's a rather harsh sounding statement, right? In what way will he pay me back? What does this mean? Right, he's making these parties in honor of his children's weddings, but he never invites Manoach because Manoach doesn't have children. Right, we know that at the beginning of the story of Shimshon, Manoach and his wife do not have any children, and that's when the angel appears and predicts that they're going to have a son, etc., etc. Right, but at this point they do not have any children, and so Boaz / Ivtzan says, "Well, I'm not going to invite him to my parties because he has no children. He won't be making any wedding parties for his children, and therefore he will not be able to invite me back. Right, he won't be paying me back for any party that I would invite him to." We will say more about this stunning sentence a little bit later on. Meanwhile, let's read on in the Gemara. Tana vechulan metu bechayav. Right, and all of these 60 children for whom he made these 120 parties all died in his lifetime, in the lifetime of Boaz. Vahainu de amre enashe, and therefore say people. Right, this is the second time we're hearing like a saying that was said among people, and said amongst people, and that's why we're trying to understand. Bechayech diladit shitin, shitin lamalech. Which means basically, right? You had 60 children. 60 were born to you. Like, what was the point? How did this help you? Rather, ichpal va'olit chad demishitin zariz, that you should try to have just one that will be, you know, that will last for you. Meaning, according to this midrash, where Boaz and Ivtzan are the same person, Ivtzan, Boaz, had these 60 children who, according to this midrash, all died in his lifetime, leaving him essentially childless. He had no one to carry on for him. Along comes Ruth and gives him one child, but that child is the child who ultimately gives him everything, right? Not only gives him continuity, right, like that any parent would want, that any person would want, but makes him the forefather of nothing less than David HaMelech and that entire dynasty. It seems to me, although the Mefarshim are not terribly generous in helping us out and understanding what this part of the Gemara is doing here, it seems that what this part of the Gemara is saying, on one level, is simply a continuation of what we saw just before in the Gemara, right? That the people who left Eretz Yisrael showed a lack of faith, a lack of belief that things would turn out okay. But we see that even Boaz / Yivtzan, who lost all of his children, in the end of the day was given Ruth, who provided him with this child who solved the whole problem, right? That once again, an example of how in that story, for Boaz, everything worked out okay in the end. It seems to me that that's what on one level, the purpose of bringing that midrash about Yivtzan and Boaz being the same person is all about. Now, I find this strange. I find this whole Gemara astounding when I read it. And in order to understand why, let's take a step back and look at the story of Ruth briefly, to get a little bit of background on the character of Boaz. One of the things that I always love about the story of Megillat Ruth is its pure beauty, right? There's something stunningly beautiful about the story in Megillat Ruth. And why is that? Well, in addition to the fact that it's set in a very pastoral setting, in the fields of Beit Lechem, you know, people in the fields, etc., it's also just a lovely story about people who are just beautiful people. Because what do you have? As opposed to, for example, these somewhat comical story of Megillat Esther, where you have, you know, villains and heroes, very black and white characters, on both sides, though, right, of both good and evil. In Megillat Ruth, you have only good and excellent, right? You have people who are, the lesser people are people who are run-of-the-mill people, right? People who do, you know, what is expected of regular, ordinary people, right? Even characters such as Ploni Almoni or Orpah, they're not doing anything terrible, right? They're not doing anything excessively good, but they're not doing anything bad, right? Ploni Almoni was not transgressing any specific mitzvot. The yibum that is discussed in Megillat Ruth is something that's sort of like an above and beyond yibum. It's not the one that's commanded in the Torah. When Boaz does this quote yibum, when he does redeem the field and he marries Ruth, or specifically the part about marrying Ruth, that's the above and beyond part, he's doing more than he has to, right? But Ploni Almoni, right, he's not, it doesn't say great things about him, but he's not doing anything terrible. And the same thing with Orpah. Orpah was merely, by going back to Moab, was merely doing, simply doing what her mother-in-law was begging her to do, right? She might not have been as exceptional as Ruth, but she wasn't doing anything terrible. And that's the whole feeling in Megillat Ruth, right? As is well known, Megillat Ruth is a book about chesed, about doing more than you have to. That's what the whole plot of the story is based on, these acts of chesed, these acts of kindness, each which add one to the next, right? Without which the storyline would not progress. It's all about doing more than you have to. Lifni mishurat adin, chesed. Right? That is the book of Ruth, and that way it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Now you have the character of Boaz, and he is one of the ultimate examples of this, right? He is the one who recognizes the exceptional character of Ruth. Because of that, he in turn does chesed to her as well. Right, so Boaz is this exceptional, outstanding character in the story of Megillat Ruth, and then you read the Gemara, and his character is completely turned on its side. Now we're all kind of used to seeing midrashim which don't always jive with the pshat. Now many times they do. Many times midrashim are exceptionally profound in the way that they see the insights in the pshat, but occasionally we do often see also midrashim which we don't see as representing the pshat necessarily. But here it seems to take this character of Boaz and turn him completely upside down, right? And I mean completely upside down, not simply saying that Boaz wasn't such a nice guy, but taking the characteristics of that we see in him in the book of Ruth and turning them completely upside down. By way of example, right? What do I mean by this? Right? Again, in the book of Ruth, as I mentioned, it's all about chesed, right? And when Ruth herself, right, who is the Moaviyah, right, who is the initiator of all of these acts of chesed, and she's the one who kind of sets it all starts all the Maaseh Chesed, all the acts of Chesed. She's the one who starts it all. She is basically reversing the stereotype of what she is, right? She comes from Moab, right? And Moab, that's the nation that we're told that we're not allowed to marry, have them marry into Am Yisrael. And why can't they marry into Am Yisrael? Because the Torah says, it says about the Ammonim and the Moavim, they can't marry into Am Yisrael because they had sent Bilam to curse us, right? Which is not, you know, which is like a very not chesed thing to do. And because when we were coming through their lands, they did not come forward and give us food and water, right? Also, lacking in chesed. So these people who epitomize the lack of chesed, that's who Ruth comes from, right? And to take a step further back even, Ruth is from Moab. Moab comes from the union of Lot and one of his daughters. And they're all connected back to Stom. Now it's true that Lot and his daughters left Stom, but there's always that lingering question of how Stom-like are they and how Stom-like aren't they, and that is the origin of the nation of Moab. And so when Ruth comes back with Naomi to Eretz Yisrael, to Beit Lechem, she has to fight against all of these stereotypes, and she succeeds, right? Ultimately, she becomes part of Am Yisrael by virtue of the fact that she represents the exact opposite of all of those stereotypes, right? She is the Ba'alat Chesed. She's the one who goes above and beyond, who does more and more and more for others, right? Completely showing that ultimately it's who you are and not what your background is that really, really matters. And so here we have this midrash about Boaz. And what does it say about Boaz? That he has all of these wedding parties that he's making, and he doesn't invite Manoach, the future father of Shimshon. And why doesn't he invite Manoach? Because Manoach and his wife at that point have no children, and he won't be able to do payback. He won't be able to invite Boaz back, right? As if Boaz is saying, I can't do that little extra. Unless I'm going to get something back for it, I'm not going to do that little bit for Manoach, right? Forgetting about for a moment that, you know, perhaps Manoach and his wife, we could psychologize, were in need of a little bit of chesed here, right? They have no children, maybe they're a little sad, right? But on the pure mathematical level of it all, right, Boaz is represented here as someone who can't give a little bit extra. He can't do anything that he's not going to get something back for, right? And if you think about the Mishnah in Masechet Avot, right, where it talks about arba midot ba'adam, there are four types, four qualities of people. Ha'omer sheli sheli v'shalach shalach, right? Someone who says what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours, right? Which is a very logical way of splitting up things. If something's mine, then it's mine. Something's yours, then it's yours. And if we respect that, then we'll be okay, right? So the first opinion in that Mishnah says zomida benonit. This is an average person, right? V'yeshomrim zomidat stom, right? But some people say that this is stom, right? This is like evil, right? As opposed to later on where it says sheli, sheli shalach v'shalach shalach, right? What's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours. Chasid. Right, so that this is a person who is a kind person, a doer of chesed, right? So we see here that Boaz fits into the sheli sheli v'shalach shalach category, right? Which you could see as, you know, that's someone who's average, but you could also see that as stone. So if Ruth, she's the one who, like, you know, negated all of that. She's the one who was the tikkun, was the repair for all of those qualities in her past, and she's no longer like that. According to this midrash, that's exactly what Boaz is doing. He's being that sheli sheli v'shalach shalach quality by not inviting Manoach, according to this midrash, to his parties. So I look at this Gemara and I say to myself, what is going on here, right? The pshat about Boaz, right, who's much more in sync to what we see about Rut in the Megillah, and what we see being said about him in this Midrash are so in contrast to each other, so contrary to each other, that it's jarring. Right? What on earth is the Midrash saying here? Right? Why are they turning the character of Boaz into the exact opposite of what he seems to be in the Megillah? I'd like to go on thinking that the pshat that I've always understood in Megillat Rut is indeed the pshat. And I do think that. So the question remains, what is this Midrash trying to say? Right? By making Boaz into this different type of character, what is the Midrash trying to say? And the honest answer, I think, would have to be, I'm not sure. But I think it's something like this. That what the Midrash is talking about here is not necessarily Boaz the person, the individual that we know from the Megillah, but perhaps Boaz as a representative of what's going on in his day, which wouldn't be so inappropriate given the fact that Boaz is a leader of some sorts. He's clearly an important man. And he is the forefather of the Malchut, of the kings, and that also puts him in a very important symbolic position as the representative of the people in general. And so it could be that what this Midrash is doing is representing not so much Boaz himself, but what's going on with the people at the time. And right, it is well known that by this point in Sefer Shoftim, where Yivtzan shows up in Perek Yud Bet, and there are many midrashim and many mefarshim that discuss this, right? The state of the union, so to speak, is not doing very well. And this is reflected in the shoftim themselves, right? By this point, we're right in the middle between Yiftach, right, who had certain problems, certain difficulties with what he did, and Shimshon. Right, and there are certainly difficulties with what he did and his personality, and the Midrash talks about this, how the shoftim of any given time period are reflective of the people themselves, and by the very end of Sefer Shoftim, and again there's discussion as to whether the stories at the end of Shoftim are chronologically speaking, at the end of the period of the Shoftim or not. They might be from earlier on in the period of the Shoftim, but nonetheless, they're reflective of what's going on with the people in this time period at large. We have civil war, right? We have the breakdown of the connection between different Shvatim, right? It's particularly in the story of Pilegesh Begiva, where the nation ends up fighting against Shevet Binyamin, right, causing a major unity problem amongst the people. Of course, you have the problem that started it all with Pilegesh Begiva in general, all of the terrible things that were going on, rape and murder, etc., which are also reflective of what was happening with the people at the time, and not insignificantly, the story of Pilegesh Begiva, right, I'll leave it, if you're not familiar with this, I'll leave it to you to go and read the story, is written in a way that is parallel to, again, that evil of evils, the people of stone, right? So that slowly but surely, Am Yisrael, but in this part of the story, is sinking into a very bad situation, a stone-like situation. So it could be that what this Midrash is saying is that Boaz here is representing in this Midrash the state of the people in general. That there's something wrong here. And so in terms of our understanding both the context of the Gemara and the context of Boaz in the Megillah, right, what is this all about? The story of Megillah Rut is essentially the story of Geula, redemption. On one level, the redemption, of course, is a very technical redemption, right? The Geula referred to in the Megillah is talking about the redeeming of the field so that it won't be lost, right? Elimelech has died, his two sons have died, and there is nobody to carry on possession of the field. And so by marrying Ruth back into the family, right, Ruth being the representative of Naomi here, so the field is, the property is maintained within the family, right? And in that way, it is redeemed, right? And by Boaz marrying Ruth, they also continue on the family in the sense of giving an heir to those who have died. And that is the very technical geula that's going on here, right? Of course, it's not hard to jump to a broader geula, right? That there's a feeling of redemption, that things are not being lost, that we're heading in a good direction through all of these events that happen in Megillat Rut. I think that it's interesting that in the Gemara, where there's a contrast between those who left Chutz La'aretz and those who stayed in Chutz La'aretz, and the criticism, the overt criticism being of those who have left Eretz Yisrael, against the criticism is of Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion, as opposed to Boaz, who stayed in Eretz Yisrael and everything turned out okay for him in the end. I think perhaps the hidden message of this Gemara, of this statement in the Gemara that identifies Yivtzan with Boaz and tells us the story about the death of all of Yivtzan's children, is a way of in a veiled manner, perhaps not such veiled manner, also criticizing those who stayed in Eretz Yisrael. Right, the real context of the Gemara is to explain why you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. But this statement seems to be saying even those who remained behind during the time of Boaz, they had problems that they had to fix as well. Right, things were not all that wonderful with them either, and they, in a sense, needed to be redeemed as well. And so when Ruth comes, and Ruth marries Boaz, and Ruth gives Boaz a child, right? And don't forget, in the Midrashic story, by having all of his previous children die off, having his first wife die, Boaz is essentially left in a parallel situation to Naomi. He, like she, right, has no heir, has no one to carry on after him, right? And so Ruth is the geula, not just of Naomi and that branch of the family, but of Boaz as well. She provides him with the heir, which, according to the Midrashic story, he no longer had. And she also, again, according to the Midrashic story, reintroduces the chesed, right, which was so lacking, according to the Midrash, in Boaz himself. Right. So again, I'd like to hope that this is necessarily reflective of Boaz himself, right, in the pshat of the story of Megillat Rut. But it could very well be reflective, again, of the time period in general, and of the state of Am Yisrael. And so, looked in this way, the role of Rut is even perhaps greater than we imagined before. Right? She's not only, on level one, you know, finding a place for herself, and, of course, you know, doing the geula for her mother-in-law and for her dead husband and brother-in-law, right? But she is also providing a geula for those who had remained behind, right? She, by coming to Beit Lechem, gives something to the people who are there, who always remained there, and not only to the people who were coming back to Beit Lechem with her. Wishing you all a Chag Shavuot Sameach.